So a horse walks into a bar. Yeah. The bartender says, "Hey, pal, why the long face?"
That's terrible.
Thank you.
Wow. The worst part about that joke is you were laughing as you told it to yourself a few minutes ago as I walked in the room.
My brother always tells that one, and we both think it's hilarious. I don't know why. All these years. Welcome to Mistakes Dads Make. I'm Nathan Hart.
And I'm David Borden.
And this is a podcast with honest conversations about fatherhood, including mistakes that dads make.
And how to redeem them.
We're glad you've joined us.
Well, we're back from our summer break. And podcast listeners, we're so glad you're here. And as you know, that this podcast is about mistakes that we as dads make.
Mm-hmm.
And although we've had a joyful and wonderful summer, we've also made some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So Nathan and I are going to debrief our summers a little bit and talk about a few of those specific mistakes today. So Nathan, let's hear about those dark, deep mistakes you made. I'm just kidding.
Well, we've each come with two mistakes that we could think of, and there's plenty more, but we're just going to talk about two of them. And the first one that came to my mind, you know, we had these wonderful vacation times. We spent time at the family cottage with my extended family, which was so, so great. And then we also went out to the beach in Massachusetts, just as my own, you know, household. And that was really great too. But in both those cases, I would say the first mistake, the first regret that I have in both those situations was I think I drank too much.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know how it is, right? You're on vacation. It's a nice relaxing day. It feels like a Saturday.
Yep.
And you're just starting to get relaxed and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you think, I would love an ice cold beer. You know, yeah. You just crack one open and, you know, kind of like the party's getting started. People are cooking dinner at some point. You have another one and then you have another drink with dinner. And pretty soon you're three drinks in, which, you know, that's not that outrageous. Mm-hmm. But then the next day of vacation begins. It's relaxing. Everyone's having a good time. Guess what? It's 5 o'clock again.
We should have
it's
a
vacation.
Cold beer.
And pretty soon you've strung together 3, 4, 5 days in a row where mm-hmm. you've had three beverages every night. And I did that, you know, I did mm-hmm. that on both the vacations. And I don't know, the scripture that's coming to my mind, I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says, all things are lawful for me, mm-hmm. but not all things are beneficial.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, if we know Christ with the freedom of the gospel, we're not bound by all those laws of Torah anymore. We can mm-hmm. have three drinks in a night if we want, that we have the freedom to do that in Christ. But that doesn't mean it's helpful. It doesn't mean it's beneficial. And I'm starting to think about, like, what am I modeling to my kids? You know, mm-hmm. they see me with how many beverages by the end of the week? And does it affect my interactions with the kids? You know,
yeah,
when I'm three
course.
Drinks in and Eva says, hey, Daddy, you want to go swimming with me? I'm like, nah, I'm good. So it puts a little distance between me and the kids. So if I had to do it all over again, I think I probably would have, I don't know what I would have done. Maybe disciplined myself to two evenings on vacation of having drinks or one drink a day. I don't know. I probably would have disciplined myself more.
Yeah. I want to talk about that one word you just used. You just said mm-hmm. modeling.
Yeah.
What am I modeling?
Right.
So talk a little more about modeling for us. I think we understand the idea,
mm-hmm.
but maybe just mention what you mean when
yeah,
you say modeling.
Maybe you've heard the expression before that discipleship mm-hmm. is more caught than taught.
Mm-hmm.
It's more caught than taught, meaning kids or people under your influence at all, they're observing yeah. you. They're observing how things go for you when tragedy strikes. How do you mm-hmm. react? You know, how do you spend your day? And you might be talking about your love for Jesus, your love for the word, but how are you actually playing it out in your
yeah.
life? And kids are always observing. And so what kind of discipleship are my kids catching
mm-hmm.
when they see that when we go on vacation, Daddy drinks, you
yeah.
know, what are they learning from that? And so I'm a little bit concerned, I guess, about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that, you know, three drinks a night doesn't maybe sound that bad mm-hmm. to some people listening to this. Maybe they're like, whoa, I have eight drinks a night or a
yeah.
whole 2 6-packs or something. But for me, it's a lot. And mm-hmm. I just wonder what the kids are observing in that. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, drinking and relaxing because, as you know, I was away for some Army training in Charleston, South Carolina recently.
Mm-hmm.
And we were staying in an embassy suites of all places, right, in Charleston. And every night in the hotel, there was a 3-hour free happy hour, right? Really a happy
wow.
3-hour
Jeez.
Where you could have as many beers or as many drinks as you want. So
that's amazing.
Obviously my soldiers were all down there every night getting blitzed.
Yeah.
And so I came up with this ministry idea. Oh, I'm just going to call this Bible study Faith on Tap, right? And we're going to talk about the Bible in the bar area at Embassy Suites.
Meet them where they are.
Exactly. And so, you know, I wanted to be that cool, relatable chaplain, as I like to think that I am. And the first few Bible studies were great. And what I realized, though, is not only was I modeling that I was a relatable, cool chaplain, but I was also modeling that I was a chaplain that probably drinks just as much as the soldiers, or maybe not quite as much, but too much.
So maybe the Bible study was just your way of getting into the happy hour.
Yeah, I think it may have the justification.
You call this
for the
Bible
happy
study?
Hour?
Just looks like drinking to me. Yeah. You baptized it by opening that Bible on the table.
But I really that modeling thing. You know, I think about that as a chaplain, right? I have soldiers looking at me. They see that. They don't see the rank on my chest. They see that cross on my chest is what they really notice.
Yeah.
And really, I'm modeling what it looks like to be a person of faith for these soldiers. And so after a couple nights of that, I had to step back and say, you know, this probably isn't a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drink the rest of the nights here. And I'll still be down here reading the Bible with people, but I'm just going to step back from the drinking thing. And I think God really honored that, you know, actually. And he was really, there was a lot of fruit in those studies after that.
Yeah.
But the modeling thing is interesting because I don't think I often am unaware of what I'm modeling.
Sure.
Not only for soldiers, but in all relationships.
Everyone's watching, right?
Exactly. Including children too. Even, you know, my little, not quite 3-month-old baby, right?
He's
modeling for him as well.
Yeah.
You know, which brings me into some of my mistakes.
Yeah. Let's hear one from you.
Made this summer. Well,
sure.
As I've been thinking about it, I think really the root of most of our mistakes, obviously, is what we would call sin.
Right.
And as you know, one of my biggest sins is selfishness.
Mm.
And when you have a child,
you are so selfish.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah.
You're the most selfish person
me,
I know.
Worry, I have someone else.
Other than me, you're the most selfish person I know. But how does that relate to the baby?
When you have a child, I think it reveals a lot of things. And one of the things I think it reveals most is how selfish you are.
Totally.
How many things you want to do for yourself.
Yep.
And not for anyone else. And
you're
by the way, you can't
anymore.
Do that stuff anymore because that baby needs you.
That's right.
And as Rachel and I had just been debriefing the past few months, you know, we've sat down and talked about, you know, how things have been going with Samuel. And, you know, one of the things that came out in our conversations was, yeah, you can't go to the gym as much as you were going pre-baby.
Oh,
and that was a hard conversation for me, but it was what I needed to hear. Because I can't be off at the gym all the time when I have this little infant that I need to partner with my wife in caring for and keeping alive, right? It's not her job. It's both of our jobs. And so that was a hard word for me. And then beyond that, was we were kind of speaking about the past year between the pregnancy and the birth, you know, what I've realized is even in the buildup to the birth, you know, I was a dad long before June 2nd. I was a dad as this child was growing within my wife, but I don't think it's just so hard to realize. And I think there were some things that I could have done in partnering with Rachel to prepare for the birth of the baby, like listening to educational podcasts, of which I did not do very much of, going to Bye Bye Baby with her to like look at things for the nursery, ways I could have partnered with her. But I think my selfishness,
kind of instead you were going to CrossFit or you're doing
exactly
your
or doing my own thing or even doing work stuff, maybe sometimes at night when I probably didn't need to be, to be honest.
So was she asking you to help her in the preparation process more and you were just kind of ignoring it, or were you just like a little bit ignorant about the fact that? Because she knew, obviously she's feeling her body grow, but you didn't really know that on a physiological level. So how could you have really been as involved as she was, unless she was like asking you to?
She was asking me.
Okay.
And there were times where I just totally was unaware of her ask.
Right. So it wasn't just ignorance. It was a little bit of selfishness.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. 100%. I would say, you know, for fathers, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
With your first baby.
Right.
Like when your wife is pregnant, you have no idea what's coming. You don't know what she's going through. So there is a lot of ignorance there too.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say it was all ignorance. Mm-hmm. I definitely would say there was some selfishness there as well.
Yeah.
I think of Paul's words to the church at Ephesus that husbands are to love their wives the way Christ loved the church gave himself up for her.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like of these things I could have done better. Like, yeah, you could have listened to those podcasts, right? Mm.
You know, could have given her more of yourself.
100%.
Did you ever hear that? I think it's Jim Gaffigan, one of these comedians, when he's talking about how going to the gym is the most selfish thing you can do. He's like, I'm here to work out myself, and I'm going to look in the mirror at myself, and I'm going to listen to a podcast of myself while I'm working myself out, or something like that. I'm doing a terrible impersonation, but I'm just picturing you at CrossFit, completely self-absorbed, while Rachel's at home feverishly putting together a crib.
No, I definitely helped with the crib,
okay,
at least.
Okay. Speaking of how we're trying to get at sin, the sin underneath these mistakes, mm-hmm, or these regrets, I have another one in my mind that I'd like, yeah, to share. Yeah, and it was just a couple, actually last week, I was with the family out at the beach. This lovely family from church provided their beach house for us in Rockport, Massachusetts. Really awesome space. Yeah. We were out there just for a few days. And I did this thing. I kind of spoiled dinner one night. Mm. I ruined dinner for everybody. We went out to this restaurant. And we sat down, and I realized immediately that on the menu, the prices were much higher than the menu that they had posted online. Oh, you ever had that?
Worst.
Oh,
yeah,
man. And it totally threw me off. I was like, come on. And I was looking at the prices, and I knew that the next day, mm-hmm, we were planning to go get lobsters.
Ooh, now, expensive.
The price of lobsters right now is astronomical.
Got it.
And so you can imagine where this story's going. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm like, oh, geez, I know I'm going to pay like at least $200 tomorrow for the lobster dinner. And now I'm sitting here looking at this menu. And you know what I did? I announced to the family,
oh no,
you know, only this section of the menu, guys.
The limits,
only,
yeah,
look at this section. And there was like I forget what it's called, lighter fare or something, mm-hmm, like that on the menu. And it was a surprise to them. And imagine my 13-year-old son who, like, he sits down at a restaurant and all he's thinking is, can I have two hamburgers instead of one? I mean, he just eats anything. And all of a sudden he's getting this mess and putting limits on him. And Nancy, mm-hmm, I messed it up with Nancy. And, you know, just the mood just went, womp, womp, mm-hmm, and I totally wrecked dinner for a little while. We had a good time by the end. But
yeah,
I introduced was worry. Mm. I was worried. I mean, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. I was literally worrying about tomorrow. I was worrying about tomorrow's lobster dinner bill. And I look back on that and I'm cringing because honestly, our family budget, we're so prudent, we're so careful with our budget, and we had enough money for both dinners. Mm-hmm. We weren't paying for the beach house. You know what I mean? Like, we were saving all this money and there was enough money in the bank account for both dinners. I was worrying. I had a scarcity mindset, mm-hmm, and I introduced it onto the table. And some of this comes from my family of origin. You know, mm-hmm, we had real scarcity when I was growing up and there was not much to go around. And I learned the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Or I internalized the wrong thing, mm-hmm, which is I thought that worry was some kind of virtue.
Interesting, yeah.
If I'm worried and I'm really like, that's where God wants me.
Yeah.
And it's actually the opposite. Jesus says, do not worry. Mm-hmm. Do not worry. And I've had to really separate in my own mind in adulthood the difference between being prudent, which is, mm-hmm, good, being a good steward, and worrying. I didn't need to worry that night. Hmm. I could have just sat down, let the family have a wonderful dinner, let them order whatever they want. My family doesn't even order the most expensive things on the menu anyway. Yeah. I should have trusted them, you, uh-huh, know, and just had a nice time. And I'm so regretful. You can see me cringing right now.
Yeah.
At doing that.
So what do you think the lie of worry being a virtue? What do you think that's like? Where does that come from? Is there like some, like, I don't know, some weird, strange self-righteousness there? I don't even know.
I think it's a couple things.
Yeah.
I think it's a wrong belief,
uh-huh,
that it's really all up to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am the savior of this family.
Yeah.
And I provide, right? You're putting yourself on the throne. And I know, you know, if we're going to spend this much money, I got to earn more or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's all about me. It's not really trusting that there is a God of this family and it's not me. Mm-hmm. There is a provider. So that's one, and that's pretty selfish if you think about, mm-hmm, it. Another one is just basically like lack of trust.
Yeah.
You know, in that same Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, consider the birds of the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't put away their seeds in barns. They trust that there's going to be seeds. And it's this very simple way. They're not really trusting. They're just existing,
mm-hmm,
just living. I would love the freedom to live like a bird of the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Lord has provided enough for this meal, and tomorrow I'm going to trust he's going to provide enough for that meal.
Yeah.
And that's where he wants us.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard. I think as men, we're taught that we need especially to trust in ourselves.
Yep.
And in our own whatever, our own pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, our own might, our own mm-hmm. strength, our own wisdom, which nowhere in the Bible does it say trust in yourself.
Right. Never.
Lean on your own understanding. No. You know what I mean? It doesn't say
that. The opposite.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was doing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what led me to fear and anxiety and worry.
Yeah.
And it spoiled the party.
Hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it's so interesting. The family of origin stuff, I think, is so important for us as dads to be aware of, because whether we know it or not, we're bringing in things, positive things and negative things from our own families of origin.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I did that a lot, I mean, hopefully my kids aren't getting a ton of this from me. Mm-hmm. They might be. I'm doing better than I was a few years ago.
Yeah.
But I hope my kids don't remember that night. You know what I mean? Because I'm giving them family of origin stuff they're going to have to deal with in adulthood. You know what I mean?
That's such is life, right? Yeah.
The cycle continues. But what about you? Do you got any other regrets or mistakes from your summer?
Yeah, well, I think talking about family of origin stuff, you and I talked about this a little bit in a few previous podcasts about mm-hmm. how what my dad modeled for me, he was a great father, but he also worked really, really hard. And he was a pastor.
Yeah.
And he planted a church when I was a young kid, and he constantly worked. And by the time he got home, although he was physically present, he was emotionally totally drained, totally absent.
Yep.
And he even mentioned some of this in his recording when we interviewed him. And I'm noticing, even with a baby that's not 3 months old yet, that there have been evenings where I, as a father, I need to come home and I need to, you know, interact with my child, right? This is so important for his development. He's laying there on the ground, right, in his little like play gym, and he's smiling and he wants to interact with me. And I'm just so exhausted.
Yeah.
I've been through so many different conversations through the day. I've ministered to so many people and I just got nothing left in the tank. Yeah. And I've noticed that this summer. And usually summertime, as you and I talk about, we like to think that ministry slows down here at the church during the summer.
Every spring, we're like, ooh, summer's coming, yay.
It's going to be so
less
easy.
Ministry, no, not a chance.
No more problems. Nobody's going to have any problems during the summer. But
so you're finding yourself emptying the emotional tank mm-hmm. with ministry, and you're coming home. And, you know, right now, Samuel's oblivious to it.
Yeah.
But pretty soon he's going to be 3, 4, 5 years old. And Daddy, totally why don't under. You want to play with me?
Mm-hmm. And so I'm really trying to step back and set, you know, better boundaries and just be aware of that emotional capacity.
Yeah. Has Rachel noticed anything?
Yeah, I think she has, but she's very gracious about it.
Mm.
I think her dad was maybe more emotionally engaged with the children.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not as aware of the toll of like a guy like my dad had at work. And when he came home, he was so depleted. I don't think she's necessarily witnessed that. So I think I'm the one that's kind of already seen how that goes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need to be the one to really step back and make sure I don't fall into the same traps that, you know, my father fell into.
Yep.
Yeah.
So to recap, mm-hmm. we've both just mentioned two mistakes that we made on our summer vacation.
Yeah.
I said I drank too much and I worried about money.
Yep.
And your two were?
Well, I think I said three, actually.
Yeah, you did. You agreed with the drinking thing. Yep.
And the other one was, you know, selfishness.
Yep.
Really, this root of selfishness that has been exposed since having a child.
Yep.
And then the third thing, it probably is attached to the selfishness too, but it's this needing to really value my wife and my child in some ways over my work, or mm-hmm. at least on equal part of my work.
Got to leave some in the tank.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe even to reverse that. Instead of leave some in the tank, it's like you give your first calling, your family, your first congregation is Rachel and Samuel, mm-hmm. you know, to give them energy and then to also have a job, right?
Yeah.
People don't think of ministry as a job. And I think maybe we ministers can do a better job of that. Is thinking like, okay, yes, we have a job just like everybody else has a job. It's not our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a life. And that's maybe even hard for some people in the congregation to hear me say that.
Yeah.
But we really do have, somebody said it to me this way. Maybe we said this on a previous episode. I'm not mm-hmm. sure. But when I was first married and I was discovering all the same stuff as you, like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out with church ministry and all that. Somebody said, Nathan, you're going to be married to Nancy longer, then you're going to be a pastor of that church. Set your priorities accordingly.
That's good.
You know, and that always hit me.
Yeah.
But so our podcast is called Mistakes Dads Make and How to Redeem Them.
Yep.
So we've just named a bunch of mistakes we made, which I think we're both agreeing that at the heart of most of these mistakes is selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you redeem that? You know, how, what do we take away from these regrets that we have from summer vacation 2021? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one thing that we can take away is that there's a constant battle to fight against your own selfishness. Every person,
yep.
Right? We all have that battle. And there are some beautiful ways that we can fight against that, right? And all of them essentially come from loving these things that are not us.
Mm-hmm.
Not that self-love. I think we talk about self-love in culture so much, but motivating ourselves by loving the other mm-hmm. more than ourselves, by loving our wives and our children more than us, by loving Christ more than ourselves. These are the ways we can be freed from this selfishness, but really it's a daily thing.
Yeah.
One day at a time.
I totally agree. And the word that's coming to my mind of what the corrective is mm-hmm. on all the sin patterns and all the mistakes that we've just mentioned, to me, the best corrective for all these things is worship. Mm. And the reason I say that is when I think about my worry,
yeah.
The heart of my worry was that I thought it was all about me. You know, I was worried I wouldn't be able to provide lobster dinner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go into worship, when I'm actually bowing my knee and confessing with my lips the grandeur and majesty and awesomeness of Creator God, mm-hmm. the one who made the heavens and the earth, when I'm in that posture of worship, I'm like, oh my goodness, He can provide. He is God.
Yeah.
Right? And the other thing that does for me, it gets it outside of myself like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I love Him.
Mm.
I love Him, and that just brings me outside of myself and shows me that other love.
Yeah.
And it shows me to love the other people around me more than I love myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good word. That brings us back to your favorite document, the Heidelberg Catechism.
Yeah, buddy.
What is that opening question?
What is my only comfort in life and death? You're thinking of the Westminster.
Oh, my
Westminster
bad.
Shorter Confession.
Oh, it shows how bad I am with theology.
I need to teach you much, my young Padawan. The Westminster Shorter Confession.
Yes.
Let me ask you, see if you know it. What is the chief end of man?
To glorify God and to love Him forever.
To enjoy Him forever.
Yeah, yeah.
To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
It is good.
To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's really the antidote to the mistakes we made on our summer vacation.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we end on that note?
Yeah.
All right, folks. We'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Mistakes Dads Make. Please take a moment and rate this podcast wherever you found it and share it with a friend. We'll see you next time.